As I've said a lot, I'll say it again, one of my favorite things of God is watching how he puts all the moves, the chess pieces into place. And the prophetic words that have come out today really went in line with the message, which again I got based on the wise suggestions of my wife. So it says in Proverbs 31, and we read on Friday night, it says, Torah chesed aleshonah. It says a lesson, it was often translated as a lesson of kindness, but you hear the word Torah, an instruction or teaching or a Torah of kindness is on her tongue. So she with the guidance of the Spirit, gave me a great starting point on which I could teach the loving kindness of God. So thank you, Brooke. The two scriptures we're dealing with today, they really complement one another. I'm going to start with Romans 5, beginning in verse 1. Romans 5, beginning in verse 1. It's right after Romans 4. Therefore, having been made righteous by trusting, we have shalom with God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Through him, we also have gained access by faith into this grace, which we stand and boast in the hope of God's glory. And not only that, but we also boast in suffering, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh, who was given to us. The second one, which is really complementary to it, is from Yaakov or James, beginning in chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So keep these in mind. The main part is about the enduring, the suffering, enduring, the character, the hope. And it's the work that it does in this is complete. And then the opposite of it is that if you're not such, that you're being tossed back and forth. We are now, especially coming from California, it's all the more obvious to me, we are entering in a time of death, right? People say, I love seasons. Like, you can have your seasons. Just give me the sun and the warmth. I'm good. I don't want seasons. I don't want winter. I don't want fall. I want warmth. Ironically, the week we were there in California, it had a little bit of rain. I thought, wow, it rain? It never rains here. And then we happened to be there when it rained. It was short. So we're entering the time of winter. Things are getting cold. We have now entered into the month of Cheshvan in the Jewish calendar, which in Jewish tradition is known as Mar Cheshvan, which means bitter Cheshvan. Why is it bitter? Because there's nothing happening. We just came from super holidays. And then next month in Kislev, we have Chanukah. But now there's nothing. And the leaves start to fall off. It's just, to me, it's just like, okay, time to be depressed for a few months. I mean, am I being dramatic? Yes, a little bit. But this is a time of what I see as the beginning of endurance. It's a time when we need hope. It's a time, in the words of Annie, where we hope that the sun will come out tomorrow. I mean, it does, but not really. It's like a joke, right? Like, I see you, but you're not really doing your job. We wait until that springtime when it comes out. It's like, yes, it's warm. I don't have to put on the heat. That's the hope we're looking for. That's the kind of endurance we have to wait until we get to that point. Ironically, the origin of hope is suffering. You can't just get hope. It has to be birthed from somewhere. And the genesis, the zygote, if you know biology, when the sperm and the egg meet, the beginning of it is suffering. Everybody suffers. Everybody. The choice is, how are we going to respond to it? Are we going to complain? Are we going to capitulate? Are we going to blame somebody else? Are we going to get mad at God? Are we going to quit the good fight? Or are we going to endure? Those are really the choices we have. Why should we endure? You know, if you remember, if anybody who studied philosophy, whether in high school or in college, anybody ever read Jean-Paul Sartre? He's a French existentialist. Do you know what his choice of eventually, what all his thought and the books that he wrote and the deep thinking about life, you know how he concluded his life? He killed himself because he saw no purpose. He saw no reason why to continue to suffer. He had a lot of deep thoughts, and essentially, this is what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. He basically says, well, if there weren't God in the picture, I bet Solomon would have killed himself too. Because at the end of it, he says, life doesn't make sense except that you just fear God and keep his commandments. Well, Jean-Paul Sartre didn't have God, so he said, what's the point of living anymore? So for us, the choice is, because we have God, thank God, that we endure. And why do we endure? Because it produces character. And certainly we're living in a time where character is not at the top of the list. Happiness, personal feelings, agendas, but character is not on the top of the list. Ideologies are up there. Personal gratification. But character has become a lost virtue. And this word in Greek, dokime, comes from the word something to be approved, something to be refined, something that has been proven, it's now acceptable, like a coin. Remember, ancient coins were pure gold or silver and had to be put through fire in order for it to be pure and acceptable. So it is to be with us. Our character is not something you buy, and it's not something that's given to you. It's something that's made. And everyone has some dross, some sort of thing that's not pure metal to be getting rid of. That's not proper English, but you know what I mean. We have all to go through the fire to be tried and for the bad stuff to get out. And that's the worst part. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But that's what the beautiful part about it is, that once you get rid of it, you feel better. You feel a lot better, and you are better, and you can be a better blessing to God and to others. Because you're pure, you've been refined, you've been made stronger. And who needs character? People who need hope need character. Does anybody know anybody who doesn't need hope? Remember, this is not a political statement, but remember when Obama first ran, he had that the picture that said hope on it? It inspired millions of people enough to vote for him. And he won because people want hope. People need hope. I think even the Israeli, the song of Israel is the hope. People want hope and need something to live for. They need something more beyond themselves, something that will be better tomorrow than it is today. Really, what is hope biblically? It's knowing that God is in control. That he works together all things for our good. And that eventually, suffering will end when Yeshua returns. Because, frankly, look at it. People think, yeah, we know a lot more today. We have a lot more today. We're living a lot longer today. But I hate to break it to you, but things seem to be getting a lot worse. Even as Nancy shared with us, things are getting worse. And people still die. No matter if even you live longer, you're still going to die. No one's yet to beat that system. But there is a hope that we have in Yeshua that eventually this will stop, only in him. And that is how the irony is that as things get worse, things will get better for us. Not in every way. We will be part of the end time suffering. But I believe it'll be like Israel in the land of Goshen in Egypt, where we will be protected. And the light of God will shine brighter than the darkness. We have to have this hope. But, you know, frankly, a lot of times when we talk about these things, it's very theoretical and kind of just, it's a concept. It's difficult to understand. So I thought I'd use a bit of my life to help give you an illustration. Now, for a long time, I mean, for as long as I can remember, even from when I was a kid, I was really tormented by my own thoughts. I felt like my brain never shut down. I had trouble sleeping. I felt like thoughts would come into my head that they weren't from me, or they bothered me, and I didn't know, why am I having these thoughts? Why do fears come up within me? I don't want to think like this. Am I wrong for thinking like this? Why do I think like this? Should I tell people? It was very difficult. I always had this unease internally. And for the most part, I would try to put on a facade like I had everything together. I really tried my heart. I mean, driven myself to by perfectionism, to be straight A's in class, to do my best, whatever I did. You know, even projected myself to be a lot older when I remember in high school and in college. My voice teacher said, you know, when you first came to me, which was I was 18, he said, you were older than you are today, which I saw him years later, because I tried to put on this persona of a put-together man, one who had all the answers, one who was mature and was solid. But it wasn't the truth. And I really sought advice and help from others. And that's not to say that this is bad, but I always tried, essentially what I was doing was asking people to solve my own problems. You know, will you solve it? Will you solve it? What should I do? Tell me what to do. Where should I go? What do I need to do? And I was always looking for the answer somewhere else, essentially trying to run from my problems because I was trying to make my problems their problems. This was very difficult, not just for me, but for other people around me, my family and friends. Even Brooke had to go through a lot of this when we met. I was up and down. I could be explosive on one day and be completely shut down and withdrawn the next day. It's terrible. Really difficult. Eventually, because I was so fed up with it and because I have such a tough wife and Brooke, she said, you know, you gotta face this like a man. You gotta stop going to everybody else for advice and for them to solve your problems, and you have to endure it. There is a time when healthy separation is good, and you have to endure it. That's not to say that you do it by yourself completely. You're doing it with the work of God, by godly counsel. But that you have to really go through these things by yourself. And I had the fire that I had been avoiding for so long, I eventually had to go through it. At times I felt lost, I felt conflicted, it was difficult because everything that I had known and had once done, now I had to leave that thing and go to something else. But as I began to commit myself to prayer seriously, commit myself to meeting with our rabbi, I met with him individually, I met him with his wife and my soon-to-be wife, and pushing into these things, I began to see progress very, very slowly. And I still had sleepless nights, and I would get up and I would pray. I figured, I'm not just going to sit here and take, you know, I used to take over-the-counter sleeping medicine. It's like, I got to sleep. I was like, I'm sick of this. I'm so tired of it. So I pressed into God, and I pursued God. And I dealt with these things. And I began to see, we used to say, you know, when you can start sleeping through the night, then we know that God has really cured you. And I began to see this. Did it mean everything changed overnight? No, not in the least. And that would get me frustrated. But as I began to see little bits of progress, my character was changing. Consequently, I began to have more hope. Whereas in the past, everything, that was hopeless because it just felt like I was hitting my head against a wall. Like, why doesn't this wall move? I mean, one response could be, you need a bigger head, but I can't fix that. But I needed a different strategy, and it was a difficult one, and it's a scary one, and it's a very transparent one, and it's humbling. But as I began to pursue it and to press into prayer and to press into God and seek advice and receive prayer, even prayers of deliverance and in dealing with deep issues, I began to be changed, and I began to have hope. I had hope that God would continue this work, and what little pieces he's given me, I would get to begin to see more. And God improved, not just knowing that God is faithful, but experiencing it and living it, knowing that God is faithful and that he will see me through to the end. So now even when new issues arise, or whether they're old, deep, persistent issues that still need to be worked out, and yes, I got a lot of them. I'm no different than you. I just have a microphone. It is that when they come up, I know that God will see me through to the end. Does that mean I have the answer immediately? No. Does that mean I walk around the sky like, praise God, everything's good? No. It means I do say praise God, but it means I also know I have to go and go through the fire again. That this time the difference is, when I'm weak, instead of retreating or exploding, that I can rejoice in my weakness, knowing that when I give God my weakness, that his power is made strong there. That God's strength is not exhibited always to having all the right answers or being, as we say in Judaism, a tzaddik, like you are the righteous man, everything, all your duties and you look great and you're so super spiritual. The kingdom idea of a spiritual, godly, strong man is one who has seen his weakness and goes before God, and God's strength is there to take its place. You're not a humble person. You're made humble by that experience. And then that becomes part of your character. Because you realize, look, I've stood before God, and I've seen how weak I am. And I've seen that only it's his power that makes me strong. So who am I? So then when you approach somebody else and you see their weakness, you say, well, look, I know who has the answers. I know where you can change your character. I know who can give you hope. It's not easy, but is it worth it? Oh, yeah. It's worth it. The only way we're going to become men and women of God with true godly character is by going through these dark, deep places, by going through the fire. And to see the come out the end where the power of God is made strong in our weaknesses. Yeah, maybe it's dark outside. Maybe it's cold outside. But when I worship God, I'm not cold anymore. I may not see leaves. I may not see the colors that I want. But I can dive into the Word of God and see the beauty of God's Word and the truth of God. Why does it say, and it says here in the scriptures, it says in Romans, that it says, but hope does not disappoint. Which also makes you think that there are different levels of hope. Like I said, there's political hope people have, which may grant people some hope for a little bit. But let's be honest, how many people receive salvation from our political system? But that hope disappoints us. If you're going to put your hope in man, get ready to be disappointed. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or whatever. You're going to be disappointed. Don't go start trying to find a new party. Oh, this one won't disappoint me. You'll be disappointed too there. But it says, why does this hope not disappoint? Because his love has been poured out into us through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have the love of God now. And the taste that we've been given of the love of God is so great. And there's even greater news that it's going to be even greater when he returns. And it's even going to be greater tomorrow if we press into God and we persist and we go through these fires and where our character is refined. That the more we persist, as we prayed this morning, as Bruce was saying, we were singing the songs about show us your glory, show us your power. As we push into these things, we receive, it's not that we receive more the love of God, but we taste it more. It's in us already. I mean, maybe, I guess you could say we get more of it. He pours out more of it. We get closer to him. He gives us more of his love. Not that we earn it, but that we just pursue him. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit within us because we're believers. But don't stop there. There's so much more. Remember when Pastor Sharon Lee shared about us with us in Simchat Torah? She goes to a 13-hour prayer meeting. I mean, I don't know, Koreans did guilt, but that was pretty good. I know she wasn't doing it on purpose. But that's the kind of thing. You pursue something. You go after it, and that's what you get. People who study music, they people are the best in the world. They practice for hours a day. That's why they're so good. Yeah, they have a raw talent, but they have to still do it a lot. So it's with us. So if we want more of the love of God, we want more of the Spirit of God, we want more hope that doesn't disappoint, we have to pursue God. Because then that's what we'll receive. And it won't be just something we have. It'll be something who we are. It'll be our character. And people today, especially, it's not an old thing, but I think people today especially want to see men and women of God who are people of character. And they'll sniff it out. They'll sniff it out. Not just are you telling me about Yeshua, but do I see Yeshua in you? And the character is formed essentially in that is each day we go through. Yes, there's an aspect of, sometimes we survive some days, it feels like. Cindy survived Doug's driving. Sorry, Doug. In Israel, they often, you ask someone, how you doing? And they say, Soldim. I'm surviving. They have a very kind of jaded, melancholic way of life, some of them. But the really the goal is that, yes, you may be going through things, but God is good. And then even through difficult times, you can praise God and thank God. And even somewhat of in Jewish jadedness, when someone says, well, it could be worse. That's true. we've gotten back from L.A. We're getting towards D.C. and they came through the storm. The captain said, look, it's going to get a little bumpy. I'm going to do my best to make the safest route possible. Brooke starts panicking. What if we die? I said, well, at least we'll be together in, God's kingdom. I said, what are you going to do about it? And then we land, and then we were complaining about that the shuttle was taking so long. I said, well, look, we just got off the plane alive. We can wait for a shuttle. My point is that you can always find the blessings of God in these situations. Whether something stinks, yeah, flying across the country with three kids definitely stinks. But we made it. We're alive. We're here. There's always something for which you can be grateful to God. If you haven't said thank you in a while, I certainly encourage you to find a reason to do so. But knowing that you can always press into God and pursue God and love God no matter where you are, what you're going through. I mean, there's a difficult time where you maybe don't have your prayer life isn't great. And certainly in California when you're visiting with family, it wasn't great for me. But you get back, jump back on the saddle, get going, and go and pursue God. Knowing that sometimes life stinks, sometimes there's things that we suffer, but God is good, God is faithful, God will get us through the fire. Because frankly, I would rather endure the suffering and reap the reward of character and hope, increasingly becoming more complete, lacking nothing, as it says in Yaakov and James, than living in fear and letting my problems control me. God can control you or your circumstances. Winter can control you, or God can. It's not necessarily a pleasant experience, but the fruit certainly outweighs the growth. It's so much better. You'll look into the mirror and say, wow, I like who I see. And I can say that. And I say it proudly, not just simply what I did, but because of the grace of God. When I look in the mirror, I see a man. I see someone who's been tested and tried and who didn't quit and who trusted in God and pursued God, and God got him through to the end because he kept going. Not because I necessarily knew what was going to happen or what was the next step. Remember when God told Abraham to go, we all think, oh, Abraham joined on faith. Do you know what kind of desert he crossed? Do you know what they did to foreigners? Did you see what they did to his nephew? Oh, he walked by faith. Do you realize what he endured? And then when he got here, he finally got a son illegitimately. Then he got another son, and then he was told to sacrifice that kid. Do you really think that's the kind of faith that you want to have? Because if you want to have it, look at what he had to endure to get it. My point being is that great faith comes through great trial. And Abraham didn't know where he was going. And when he even told to take Isaac, he didn't know where he was going. But he trusted God each step of the way. He said, I will show you. And even if you have to kill your own kid, I'll bring him back from the dead. Because I will fulfill my promise. And even when Abraham made the same mistake three times, not once, not twice, three times, he sold out his own wife. She still stuck with him. I guess Jewish wives were different back then. Three times he makes the same mistake. I guess he learned after the third time. But this is the kind, look at what Abraham had to endure. We talk about the faith of Abraham, but look what he had to endure to get to the place of where he ended up in his life. But it outweighs where he was in Ur, where he started. And we're here today because he endured. And we too are sons and daughters of Abraham because the faith has been given to us through the Spirit by putting our trust in Yeshua so that we too can endure to the end. It's not just an endurance like, oh, I made it. But I get there and say, I've passed the test, thank God. And the test is not just when we die or when he returns, but the test is today. The test is tomorrow. The test is the next day. So that when you come to a test, say, God be praised, I can do this. Because, not because of me, but because of him. Hope that does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into us through the Spirit who was given to us. Persist in God. Persist in prayer. Seek godly counsel. Get advice from godly people and then do the work. They can't solve your problems. They may give you ideas or what they think would work, but you got to do the work. But the good news is you also get to reap the benefits, that your character has changed. You become more like him, and then you are filled more with hope. So when you do come to the problem, you say, oh, help, I'm so troubled. Life is so hard. Next time you come and say, I need help, I need wisdom, how do I do this? Notice the two different, the same. I said the same thing, but two different ways I did it. I encourage you to read these verses over. Romans 5, 1 through 5, Yaakov, James 2, or 1, 2 through 8. Think about these things. Notice that Yaakov, and I say Yaakov, I know we've been taught that his name is James, but in the Greek it's Yaakobos. It was mistranslated on purpose. His name's James. His name is Yaakov. Jacob, if you want, even. He says, let patience have its perfect work, so you may be complete, lacking in nothing. Anybody want to be lacking in anything? Who wants to be incomplete? Anybody? No takers? Great. So let patience have its perfect work in you, so that we may be complete, lacking in nothing. Now, we won't complete that fully in this world until Yeshua returns, but we can get closer and closer to that point. God will produce this character if we say, Lord, I will go with you to wherever you call me to be, whatever you have for me, whether it's going to the groceries and my kids are having a tantrum. God can be glorified in that moment. And I'm speaking to myself. It's like I said, I got plenty of mess ups. And even as I'll end on this, even as many of you know with this, it seems like and be installed, we got the email out of it, installed as the senior leader coming soon. It's not 100%, but we have to go through our procedure of bylaws. I'm terrified, I'll be honest. I'm excited and I'm terrified. I'll tell you why I'm excited because this is what I really want. I'm terrified because it's a big deal, and I know I'm going to be refined more. And it's not, I'm in a way, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm not, because I know what it's going to entail. But I'm not going to stop. I don't want to quit. I want to do it for God, and I know if this is where God has brought me to, this is where the congregation has affirmed me to be, God will get me through the trials that I need to do, that I need to go through, so I can be a better blessing to you. But it doesn't mean it's not just for me. We all have something to do. We all have something to go through. But the good news is that hope, it'll make us godly, give us godly character, and give us hope, and hope that does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out into us through the Spirit who was given to us, that we may be complete, lacking in nothing. Go home today. Think about it this week. Where are areas in my life that I've been avoiding? What are things that I need to do to get better at? Where am I lacking? Where am I incomplete? Go to the Lord. Seek counsel from your spouse. Seek anybody. I mean, people you trust and who are godly. And go to the Lord and pray about it. Spend time in prayer. You can't do, I'm going to tell you, just bluntly, you can't do anything with God without prayer. And sometimes prayer, as we read today's, it was as Suzanne read in Psalm 62, in stillness, I wait upon God. Just being quiet and letting the God just come upon you. Letting him bring things to light. And then dealing with them appropriately. God will bring you through it, so you may be complete, lacking in nothing. Amen. Let's pray.